We sang about the power of Christ's blood, the sacrifice that he's made. We sang about him calling us to rise up. And I pray that the Lord has drawn you near to salvation that way. That his voice has called you out of the darkness of this world. That he has spoken to you and shown you that you are indeed a sinful person. We sang a song that just talked about him being holy. Holy, 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 he's described in Isaiah 6. The only attribute that's elevated to the third level. He is set apart. He is above us. And yet in his great love, he sent his son to die on a cross for your sins and mine. For his enemies, he died. That our unworthiness could be exchanged for righteousness. Our uselessness could be changed to usefulness. So that he could continue the work that he started with Jesus through each and every one of you here today. God can use you. Look at the person next to you and say that. God can use you. That's crazy. To think that God could use us, would choose to use us. That the creator of the heavens and earth, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of everything looks at you and says, I want to use you for my glory. That should blow you away. He could use anything. He says, I'll make these rocks cry out. And he has said, I'm going to use you. I created you for this. I think the primary way he wants to use you as you're sitting here today is through discipleship. He wants you to hear his word, to live it, and then to pour it out into people around you. Where you live, work, play, and learn. The same way we say all the time, right? The same words we use all the time. The places that he's put you, where you live, where you work, where you play, and where you learn. And see, we throw learn in there because when you get saved at 8, 9, 10 years old, you're in a classroom full of people that need to hear the gospel. And it's never too early to start. God wants you to hear the word. It's not like we just come here to have our little holy huddle on a Sunday morning so that we get all pumped up, thinking how good we are, paying our dues to the Lord. It's so that we hear the word of God and can then go share it with others. It's what Paul writes. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's an exponential plan of God in this. That we keep hearing the word and teaching the word to people that will hear our word and go teach others that word. He's got it all rigged. Right? This is his plan. And it's our calling for as long as we live. And what do we have to teach? We act like we have to, some people act like they have to be biblical scholars in order to do this. And it's just not true. If you know Christ and him crucified, you can be a disciple maker. It's what Paul said he taught in Corinth, right? 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You walk alongside people and just help them see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for their sins, who rose on the third day. You help them see that. They'll see the beauty of Christ. They'll come to salvation and the Holy Spirit will grow them. They'll want to get in the Word of God. This is what we're called to do, to multiply the gospel through faithful study and teaching, but it's not happening. I got a report from the director of missions over the Chester Baptist Association. He handed out at this meeting we were at a few weeks ago. Over the last 10 years, we have lost 1,000 members of Chester Baptist Association churches. 1,000 members. We have 1,000 less members than we did 10 years ago. Similarly, baptisms have decreased drastically. And I rejoice what we get to see here. You know, four last week, one this week. That is amazing. And I want us to keep doing it. And it's your hands pouring into these lives that do it. And I want to see it continue. But we can't be satisfied to say, look at our little corner of the kingdom while the rest of it lies in rubble. That can't be good enough for us. Because we're part of the kingdom together. Harmony Baptist Church is just one little sliver, one stone amidst millions. We can't be satisfied. We must go out into the highways and the hedges and compel the stranger, the foreigner, the downtrodden, the brokenhearted, the rich and the poor to come to the feast of the Lamb. To see that His table is for them. He died that they could live. It's not simply enough to just go either. We must go with the Word of God. We must know this Word, treasure it in our hearts, because your words aren't enough. There's some people that can talk some really good stuff, but they don't have anything on this. We got to have the Word of God as we go. Because going with the Word will allow us to overcome the obstacles that the enemy puts in our path. It'll allow us to see through the schemes that Satan lays before us. And knowing from His Word that His grace is with us will allow us to stand boldly in the faces of uncertainty and danger. How do I know that? How do I know that His grace enables that? Because His Word tells us over and over and over again. Those of deep faith that are uncompromising on God's mission and God's Word. This book is filled with men and women like that, who God uses for His glory, even if it costs them their lives. And we see that certainly as we've been walking through the book of Nehemiah. That's where we'll be this morning, Nehemiah 6, 10 through 14. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn there, or a Bible app. I hope you do. If not, the pew Bible in front of you, that's yours. You can take it home with you. It'll also be on the screen behind me in the English Standard Version. In Nehemiah 6, what we have seen is that his enemies are hard at work. They've tried to entice him to a meeting out in the country, in the plain of Ono, so that they could kill him. They've written an open letter that hundreds would have been able to read that was all gossip and slander against him, hoping that got back to the king so that the king would kill him. Now they resort to temptation to try and destroy him. Well, let's read together and you'll see what I mean. Beginning in verse 10. Now when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Dealiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night." But I said, "Should such a man as I run away? What man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in." And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. Let us pray. Father, your word teaches us so much. Here we study the life of this faithful man in Nehemiah, this man that you had called, who had given up the pleasures of his life to go and help his downtrodden people rise up out of the rubble. And we see at every step of the way his enemies have attacked and that he stands afraid. They want to make him afraid. And every time he looks to you, I pray that each of those that have gathered here will do the same. We live in a time of tremendous fear and trepidation. We have to fear sending our children to school. We got to fear driving down the road. We got to fear where the next meal's going to come from for some of us. We got to fear for who's leading us. We had to fear in all these ways, and yet you are our God. And your word tells us you will provide us with everything that we need. And that we will not be overcome by this world because Jesus has overcome this world. We know that though our enemy desires us to fear, that it is he who is defeated. Father, let us treasure your word. Let each one here hide it in their hearts that they can walk in it and proclaim it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One thing evident in Nehemiah 6, really the first six chapters, is that our enemy never stops. If you look at the news in this past week, this unending news media, there's plenty of evidence of the enemy's continual attacks, right? We see the hands of the enemy all around us, putting guns in the hands of the deranged, causing divisions wherever he can, enticing even men of God into heinous sexual sin, as we have seen documented in the Southern Baptist Convention. And no matter what it takes to make this right by these victims that have been abused and then cast away, I pray that the Southern Baptist Convention will do it. Because there's no place in the kingdom for that behavior. But God is able, and he will raise up men that will walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which they've been called. What we see in all this, I think, when you look at the media, you see the enemy continually moving forward, is that nothing's changed since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Sin rules in men's heart. The enemy is always hard at work, and so we must be vigilant, armored up, prepared with the word of God that we can defeat his fiery darts. And the world needs to see, in the midst of all this chaos and all this evil, the world needs to see men and women that live like Jesus actually makes a difference in our lives. I said last week that grace has been misused in the church so often because we just use it as a credit card for sin. I got grace. I can sin and get away with it. It's okay. That was never the intention of grace. He does indeed show us unmerited favor, grace in allowing us to be his people. But his grace is also our strength. His grace allows us to overcome sin and not simply be forgiven of it. That's what the world needs to see in the midst of all this trauma that's going on around us, is that Jesus makes a difference. He only makes a difference if we read his word and live by it. If we follow the Spirit's guidance as he teaches us this word. One of the first things you see in this passage is that the enemy can use anyone, even someone that's considered a person of God, to tempt us to sin and undercut the mission of God. See, a man who may have been a prophet, Shemaiah, sends word for Nehemiah to come and see him. Nehemiah goes to his house, and this prophet tells Nehemiah, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night." He says this in verse 10. He's saying, "Your enemies are coming, Nehemiah. I know God sent me this message. He's told me to come to you and tell you this. He wouldn't even let me leave my house. Your enemies are coming. They might be coming right now to come kill you tonight. Let's go to the temple and let's close ourselves in so we'll be safe." That sounds like a pretty good plan, right? Somebody coming to kill you. Probably need an exit strategy. Somebody busts through the doors. I done told the safety committee, I'm jumping right there. But it wasn't according to the word of God. See, God's word did provide for sanctuary in the temple. Exodus 21:13-14 and 1 Kings 1:50 shows us that those seeking safety from attacks could go to the courtyard of the temple. They could go to the altar and find protection there if the person coming after them wasn't willing to desecrate the temple. Adonijah, as he had rebelled against Solomon, he sought sanctuary there in 1 Kings 1:50. But this prophet is not telling him to go to the courtyard. This prophet is telling him, you go into the inner part of the temple and close the doors. See, that's in direct opposition to God's law. In Numbers 18:7, the inside of the temple was only for the priesthood. And anyone that went inside was subject to death. Anyone that entered those that was not a priest was subject to death. No real prophet would have advised Nehemiah to transgress the law of God, and no real man of God today will tell you to break God's law. No man will do that. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3 tells us about these false prophets. It says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. False prophets have been around for a long time. They've been a burden to the church for a long time, and they are a burden to Christians today. There's never been a time where we've had as much access to preachers, to prophets, as we do today. See, it used to be you came to church to hear the Word of God. You came to Sunday school and you learned about it. Now you can get online and you can find scripture, messages, commentaries, studies on everything in the Bible. And it's dangerous. Because a lot of those that dress themselves up as sheep have sharp teeth. They're walking around trying to mislead people so that they fall into that total destruction. I see many of them. I've actually reached out, maybe some of you in here. I'll look on the Bible app and you'll be reading a devotion by somebody I know is not proclaiming the Word of God. And I'll reach out and just say, hey, you know, be careful with what you're reading here, because this person does not truly follow Jesus. They aren't a person that's living this out. You got to be careful and discern through the Spirit and your knowledge of the Word what you're going to take to heart and follow, because there's a lot of it out there. But this is the funnel that you have to view all of it from. The Spirit's discernment in you, and as you compare it to what the Word of God actually says. It's easy to misuse this. Now you can say there is no God, and there's a scripture in here that says that, but the first words of that says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. We got to be careful in how we're learning and applying this word. Jesus promises that these false prophets will come. Matthew 24:24, he says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. They're going to come. They're always going to be around until Jesus comes and establishes his new heaven and new earth. These people are going to be here. So we have to be discerning. We have to spend enough time in the Word that we'll know the difference between what's true and what's not. If in ignorance or fear we compromise on the Word of God to accept sin as permissible, then we begin to move even closer to destruction. And Nehemiah neglected God's Word. He would have fallen into the enemy's trap, his reputation ruined, and possibly dead for his ignorance, all just days away from accomplishing the mission that God had given. All he had left was putting the doors in the gates. Had he sought his own health, his own life, and running into that temple, it would have all been for nothing. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Never compromise on the Word of God when the enemy calls, so that you will not fall short of winning the eternal prize. Nehemiah wouldn't compromise on God's Word. He saw through this enemy's trick. And he says in verse 11, should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. You could read that first part and say, Nehemiah's just got a big ego, right? Should such a man as I run away? But he understood something. As a leader, he could not be the one to run away. As a leader, he could not compromise on the word of God, even if it was to save his own life. As a leader, he knew that if he committed this sin, he would lead others into that sin too. And he would not do that. He had left all of his life to come and do this mission for God, and he was not about to give it up now. Fathers, if you're in here today, I want you to understand that you've been set apart and identified as the leader of your home, and you are the one that's supposed to set that standard for your family, because they'll follow you to hell if that's where you lead them. If your life is full of sin, if you're living in sinful behaviors, the likelihood of your family doing it is very high. And Jesus can save them out of that. But I would rather die than lead my children to hell. I hope you would too. We have to set this standard. Nehemiah knew that. He knew that he as a leader set the standard, and as a humble man of God, he would not compromise on the word of God, even under the threat of death. But every day, Christians compromise the word of God for far less. Millions of professing Christians have compromised the word of God on the sanctity of life, on gluttony, adultery, divorce, pornography, homosexuality, drunkenness, greed. They compromised on what God's word says, that all to make themselves happily fit in with the culture around us, or because someone they love has embraced one of these sinful lifestyles. Hey, it blows me away. I see adult Christians that have walked with the Lord all their lives only to walk away from the teaching of Jesus because one of their children embraces a sinful lifestyle. Instead of saying, no, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to show you what it really means to follow Jesus, they see them drinking this poison of sin and they say, I'll have some of that too because I love you. But affirming sin, what God calls evil, what Jesus died to conquer, is not love. It is not love. And if we water down the gospel, it will save no one. It will only fool them into false assurances of eternity and utterly doom them at that point. And as hard as that is to see, all these people that leave the teachings of faith to show love, there are far more Christians that have compromised God's word through omission, that have compromised God's word by not fulfilling what they're called to do. They play the part. They come on Sunday. They might show up on Wednesday. They got a Bible at their house somewhere, but they do nothing with it. None of the commands that are laid out here, none of the taking care of the least of these, none of them shining the light of the gospel, none of that makes an impact in their life. They know the word, but they don't do the word. James 4:17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. To know what God has commanded you to do and not do it is sin. Just as heinous, if not more so, and all those sins I named before. Because the Spirit of God lives in you to empower you to do these things. See, all disciples of Jesus are told to be witnesses, to go and make disciples, to preach the word in season and out, to pass on what we are taught to others, that they will teach others. And I don't believe that if we were doing that, there'd be 1,000 less Southern Baptists in Chester County than there were 10 years ago. And the reality is, when we sit by and watch the world go to hell, we are compromising the word of God and committing sin. You are to live for Christ and help others live for him. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We got a lot of deceived people around. When we compromise on obedience to the word of God, we always compromise on his mission. These two things go together. If you know his word, if you're uncompromising on his word, you'll have to do his mission because his word tells us his mission. And if you're doing his mission, you have to know the word because the word is the mission. We compromise on either one. We compromise on following God. And that is why the church is crumbling, because we have compromised on both. Far too many have compromised on living the word and simply been satisfied to hear it or some twisted version of it. We've made it enough to be entertained by the best speakers who make us feel good after we leave their Christian talk. Most churches today would give the Apostle Paul the boot about a month in because all he would preach is Christ crucified. And he wouldn't do it with eloquence, and he wouldn't dance around like a puppet on stage. He would just simply proclaim the truth and they would get rid of him. We don't need more entertained Christians. We need laborers. We need spiritual stonemasons, men, women, and children with blistered and cracked hands from laying spiritual stone on top of spiritual stone as they proclaim the gospel and they disciple those around them. That's what we need. And I praise God, church, that so many of you are. Nehemiah had his walls. We have the church. Jesus is building it and he's using us. But to climb out of the rubble of the American church, we must be a part of this. Every one of us stacking up these living stones on top of living stones to make a spiritual house through the power of Christ in us. We must see the world and the brokenness around us the way Jesus does. In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, not enough to just go about our own existence, not looking into the peripherals of all the brokenness around us. We got to see it as he did. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That means he was moved to his very guts. It wasn't good enough for him to just simply say, man, that's terrible. He was moved to his innermost being with love and compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It wasn't enough to just feel it. He had to do something. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We've been praying this for so long. We've been praying that God would send out laborers, that he would use us to reach the broken and the downtrodden around us, the poor in spirit, that he would use us. And I look out and the darkness is growing ever worse. As week after week, we're seeing just tragedy after tragedy happening around us. So we got to do something about it. You know, it's not enough to just legislate these things. It's not enough to leave it to the government. They could ban every gun in the world and we'll kill people with rocks. We could put a gun in the hands of everybody in that school and somebody will find a way to use something to kill somebody because you can't legislate morality. That's our job. It's what he's called us to do. Go and make disciples. Be witnesses, because you take the gospel of Jesus to somebody and the Spirit moves their heart, takes out that heart of stone, gives them a heart of flesh, that changes them. They go like Paul, from murderers to those that are willing to be murdered for this faith, to see others come to eternal life. We got to do that. We got to keep building. We got to keep moving forward. We've been praying for the Lord to send laborers. And I rejoice this morning that we have brothers and sisters that have put their yes on the table. They said, I will go. I will be who you need me to be. I will be a spiritual stonemason. I will not compromise on the word of God, even if it makes me uncomfortable, even if it breaks my heart. I won't compromise because the Lord has called. I got brothers and sisters here today that proclaim to the Lord, as Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:8. Here I am. Send me. 742 team, if you'd come forward now. Brothers and sisters, as you see these make their way down, I want you to understand that we at Harmony Baptist get to send these men and women and children as the brothers and sisters in Antioch were able to lay their hands on Paul and Barnabas in Acts and send them out by the Spirit of God. In commissioning these disciples today to plant this church at 742 North Anderson Road in Rock Hill, we are refusing to compromise on the Word of God. We were saying that we will not be the foolish man of Luke 12 that built larger storage barns so he could take it easy, but a church that sends out laborers into the harvest that God may reap more and store up their eternity in heaven. That's what you see happening before you today. Praise be to God. As we walk through commissioning these brothers and sisters, I want you to ask yourself, have I compromised on God's word and God's mission? Are you sitting on the sidelines when God has commanded you to go across the street or across the world? Ask yourself, have you put your yes on the table to be used and useful to God? These faithful may be going to start a new work, but there's still plenty of work to be done here at Harmony Baptist for those that put their yes on the table. There are 15,000 people within 5 miles of this church that don't know their right hand from their left. They need us to share Jesus with them. God wants to work through you. Will you be useful? We're going to move into our commissioning of this team to be sent out into the harvest. This commissioning is our affirming as a church the call of God on this team to go and plant a church in Rock Hill, South Carolina. This is a beautifully painful day. A few months ago, I knew that this was coming and it all seemed to be moving towards God calling people out of here. And I had been preaching this, like my very first sermon was on Isaiah 6 as I took over as the head pastor here. And it just broke me that we were losing people. I started questioning, you know, about they just getting away from me, you know. I don't always smell good, but, you know, there were all these questions that the enemy was putting in my head, and I was just broken over it for like a week. And then the Spirit finally just said, get over it. And I was okay. But this is not like from division, right? That's what we see so often. Like normally, if you see a group of 20 people leaving a church, it's because they don't like something that's happened there. The color of the carpet or the new paint or the new parking lot or, you know, all sorts of things they don't like. This is my brother. And I've loved working alongside him for the last 4 years. Sought him out to come and be a part of this. And now I got to say, see you around, man. We'll stay in connection, right? But it won't be the same. So it's a beautifully painful day, but a Spirit-led day. We'll start with Ben this morning and then move on to the team as a whole. Ben, as the shepherd of this flock, you have some heavy responsibilities. So today we charge you to do the following. Ben, will you lead this new church as one who studies the scriptures, proclaims the word, and encourages them with sound doctrine? Ben, will you lead this new church as one who rejoices in bringing new Christians to baptism and to share with them the living water, Jesus Christ himself? Ben, will you lead this new church as a man of prayer, dependent on God in all things and praying for God's people and the Lord's work? Ben, will you lead this new church as one who boasts in Christ and him crucified, leading this church as they remember the Lord's death and resurrection?
God's help, I will. I pledge myself to take care of this community that is being sent with me and the ones that are going to be drawn to our number, to share with them the Word of God, the sacraments of his, the work of ministry, and to celebrate with them the sacraments of the new covenant, to encourage them as their disciple. Together, may we continue to experience this community as one where disciples are equipped for their life and witness in God's world. and where through trust in Christ, people become heirs in the hope of eternal life.
And all God's people said, amen. In the beginning, God spoke into darkness and there was light, and God continues to bring life and light through his powerful word. One sows and another waters, but it is God who brings the growth. And we rejoice in all that God has been doing and in and amongst this 742 team. And I affirm today that we love you all. You are our spiritual family, who will now go and expand our family in a new place, the way God has intended for families to operate. As we send you, we have some charges for you all. 742 team, will you love your neighbors and serve your communities, being eager to do what is good? Will you see all of life as opportunities to worship God in the workplace and at home, at the school gate and at school, with those you love and those you struggle to love?
God's help, I will.
Will you seek to be gospel people, sharing the good news of Jesus with compassion and conviction, always prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you?
God's help, I will.
Harmony Baptist, we don't send this team to forget them, but to continually support and encourage them as a part of God's kingdom with us. So, Body of Christ at Harmony, we have some charges for you as well, if you will stand now. Beloved people of God at Harmony Baptist, do you affirm our sending of this team as servants of the Lord and a new church? If so, please say, we do.
Amen.
Will you encourage this team as they accept this responsibility for our common mission? If so, please say, we will. Will you provide prayer, personal and financial support that the team will serve with joy and not with grief? If so, please say, we will.
We will.
Amen. You may be seated. Ben has some words he would like to share, and then we'll have a special song by Rebecca and WJ. And then we'll invite the team back up, and we'll invite all those that would like to come pray to come forward then.
Thank you, Patrick. 5 years ago, Kara and my family visited this church for the very first time. Truth be told, it was the first time in a long time that we have been church visitors. After finishing up a ministry assignment in Rock Hill, serving as a student pastor, our family came here upon the invitation of a friend. At the time, we did not know what God would lead us to next. We did not know how long we would be here. We did not know what that next door that God would open. But from the very first time we visited here, we knew that there was something special going on here. Never in our life have we been part of an authentic and a real church with people who lived out a value that they were real and willing to be transparent and willing to show brokenness. A church where people were willing to share when things were not okay. We knew we had found our home here. Not long after joining the church, the Lord opened up the opportunity for me to be called to serve as an associate pastor of discipleship under Patrick. I'll tell you, the last 4 years of ministry here have been the most formative years in my ministry life. I know you know this, but I'm going to tell you this. You have one of the best pastors that I have ever known in my life. And oh boy, you better treat him right, because we're going to come back and get you if you don't. Pastoring is hard. And this is a man who wears it on a sleeve, who knows, doesn't put up walls, who knows what it's like to weep and to grieve with those who grieve, to comfort with those who need comfort. A man who is not in it for a paycheck, but a man who is in it because the call of God is on his life. And oh boy, you don't see it very often. I'm so thankful to have served under him. So thankful to serve with TJ and WJ and everyone else who serves on staff here. We have something special here. And from the very beginning, Honestly, maybe begrudgingly, we began to pray for God to give us opportunities to be able to go and help others. Because it's really comfortable and easy to be in a good church where God is blessing and moving, and to be comfortable enough to stay there. That is the easy road to take. But our church staff began to pray about those opportunities, and opportunities did come. Some of those we never told the church about, as churches would reach out and ask for help and ask us maybe would we come alongside of them and ask them, hey, would you be willing to maybe send a pastor to help? And as we discern, those doors would shut. And a few months ago, when Pastor Dave reached out and asked us about coming alongside of New Disciples Baptist Church and planting a new church there, it didn't take long to see the hand of God in that process. I'll tell you, the last few months have been a roller coaster of emotion for our team, has been a roller coaster of emotion for our family. Kaber said it to someone this morning, I don't cry now. We are crying today, but it started with tears because we love you. Kaber told someone last week, she's going, but if she don't like the preacher, she's coming back. I don't know what to do with that. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we love you very much, so we were happy to share with you the good news, God's gospel, the good news. But not only that, we were also happy to share even our lives with you. It has been a joy and a pleasure to be able to share our life with you, Harmony, to be able to come to know and to grow and to just be at a heart level with so many of you. Folks, we have something special going on here. But God has not called us to hoard it for ourselves. One of the common themes that you will hear me say as I preach, if you have heard me bring the word, is that God has not called us to keep his blessings and everything that he's doing in our church inside of these four walls. You see, indeed, it is not what happens within these four walls that counts for the kingdom of God. And oh boy, there's things that happen for the kingdom of God here. But it's not what happens within these four walls that counts so much for the kingdom of God. It's truly what happens when we leave these four walls and we take the gospel where we live, work, play, and learn. That's what counts for the kingdom of God. It's with that calm assurance that our family has chosen to be sent. And as we walk this path of obedience, we will walk it wherever it leads. I told Patrick in the very beginning that following God is hard. Because he is going to ask us to do hard things. And we just got to know that's okay. But there is not a place over the last 4 or 5 years that I would have rather served in ministry. And there is not another church that I would rather to be sent from than Harmony Baptist Church. As we start this new plant, you saw the team lined up across. We are going to plant and start what is going to become part of a Harmony family of churches. We don't do it alone. We are building upon a foundation that was faithfully laid by Pastor Dave and by Miss Barbara. We're building upon a foundation that's been supported by Deborah Case. And we just want to celebrate that today, that their faithfulness to the Lord laid a foundation to begin to see God do a new work. Dave told me one of the very first times that I met him that, you know, Harmony has something special with my life. He said, I was baptized right there. I guess it was in the ground right there. How cool is that? And as Dave began to work out his call into ministry, Miss Barbara said that this church and a former pastor was so special in his life as he equipped him, as he guided him, as he led him, and as he sent him to start an apartment ministry. Isn't it so cool how God brings that 25 plus years later, full circle, as God is going to allow us to walk alongside of him, building on the foundation that the Lord himself has laid. Their faithfulness to the Lord brought us to this point, and now with 19 members on our launch team, we will celebrate being sent. This morning, I do want to honor the fact that Brooke and Justin Cooper have raised their hands and said, we are willing to go. That Derek and Kristen Holder, who's not able to be with us this morning, have raised their hands that they are willing to go. And then the 19 total that are going to be standing in front of this church, raising their hands that they are willing to go and be sent. I close with this as in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20 and 21. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we might think or ask or imagine." God is able to do more than we can think about. God is able to do more than my mind can even ponder up a question to ask or even imagine. "According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Paul closed with that, and I shall close with that. Worship with us as Rebecca and WJ come to sing.
I missed this last time, but I want to make this opportunity. If the Lord is calling anybody to salvation today, as Rebecca comes forward and sings this song, we'd love for you to come forward. If God is calling anybody to join Harmony Baptist and be a part of this beautiful work that he's doing here, we'd ask that you come forward during this song. And if you just need to pray, we pray that you'll do that right where you are, listening to what Jesus has commanded us as we get ready to send these out.